Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
John McGahan's last novel, That They May Face the Rising Sun, has been made into a film directed by Pat Collins. It tells the story of writer Joe Rutledge and his wife Kate, an artist. They return to Joe's home place in Leitrim after living in London, and the film traces their lives and their interactions with their neighbours. Well, Barry Ward, who has starred in Bad Sisters, May's Family and Jimmy's Hall, plays the part of Joe, and Sean McGinley, who has starred in The Wind That Shakes the Barley, Family, Love, of Hate, and who began his long stage career with Druid, plays the part of Johnny. And Barry Ward and Sean McGinley join me now. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, lovely to chat to you both. Listen, we'll get to the great John McGahan, but you two know each other a long time. Sean, you played Charlie Spencer in Family, of course, in 94, and Barry, you played his son, John Paul. How was that?
Yeah, that's right. That was my first ever job.
Yeah.
My first ever foray into acting at any level. So, yeah, I started at the top. It's been a long way down since then.
You were the best thing in it. You were brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Have you worked together much since?
We did The Claim, remember that?
Yes.
We did a Western together in Canada, oh Jesus, 20 years ago now.
Yeah, really? 2001, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
But we didn't have any scenes together.
No, we didn't.
But we did a short movie not long after Family, about a year later, Paul Mercier, called Service.
Yeah.
About the Irish oral exam, which is still shown every year to students who are about to embark on that horrible trial of the Irish oral exam. And Sean was an examiner and I was a student playing truant.
So you were saying there, Barry, that was kind of your first real acting role?
Yes.
As Charlo's son. So where did it start? Where did you grow up? Not Leitrim.
No. My dad was a Leitrim man and he raised me in his odd Leitrim ways in a suburb in North Dublin, Blanchardstown. And I was in school in Cabra and BBC casting agents were casting Family, and I mean, there aren't many 14-year-old actors from which to choose, so they held open auditions. So I was, in short, street cast. And I mean, it was an enjoyable process. And then when they offered me the job, I thought, well, sure, why not?
Absolutely.
It seems like fun. Before I knew it, I was on the set with Sean and J.R. Ryan playing my parents. And we had this surrogate family for 3 or 4 months. It was life-changing.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so it's so nice you're working together again. Sean, just for the listeners as well, tell us a little bit about That They May Face the Rising Sun. I think it came out in 2002. It was John McGahan's last novel. Did you read it at the time, and did you think ever that it would be made into a film?
I did read it at the time, and I've always loved John's work, and this may be my favourite of his ever. I never thought that it might be made into a film, because I just thought, how do you capture the subtlety, that genius, that nuance that McGahan has in that book? It's so gentle and undulating. But then, you know, when I read the screenplay that Eamon came up with, I thought, bloody hell, you know, this is really good. Mm. And then when we met with Pat, the director, who had worked with John on a documentary some years beforehand, just that, all that clicked together. And I think all of us felt, you know, we had the luxury of, we had a bit of time before we started filming as well, to get to know each other and even to rehearse little bits of scenes. And I think there was a feeling even then that this is in safe hands here, you know.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful film. I mean, it looks magnificent. It's also really poignant. I gather, is this right, Barry? You really wanted to play Joe.
Yes.
Is this correct?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of John McGahan's work. I was a big fan of Pat Collins' work. And I thought how much I'd love to work with Pat. But given he's a documentary maker and I, you know, I work in drama, I thought it was never a possibility. I heard that that Pat had adapted That They May Face the Rising Sun, and thought, given I'd played Jimmy Gralton and Ken Loach's Jimmy's Hall, I have a family connection to that part of the world, and indeed a rather tenuous connection to John McGahan himself, in that my dad made his first Holy Communion with John.
Isn't that amazing?
And I think that those connections kind of go a long way towards just making it feel like a right fit. So I did think I was very fitting for that role. And I met Pat and we chatted, and very quickly there was a definite sense of compatibility between us, and it felt like a no-brainer then, you know.
And it's a huge role for you because you're virtually in every scene.
Yeah, I think it's a really subtle role. That couple at the centre, Joe and his artist wife, Kate, because they are to some degree rather passive, and but at the centre of everything. And around these two, you know, orbit these other sometimes larger than life characters, and very familiar characters to everybody watching, I'm sure they'll bring to mind people they know. So it required, I think myself and Anna, who played Kate, in discussions, made the decision that we just had to be very present and listen. And that's much harder than it sounds. But when you're in the middle of these brilliant ensemble actors and characters coming in, it was a very easy and, you know, it was highly entertaining for us. But it was just about being very, I think, receptive to what was going on around.
She's so good in it too, actually, Kate.
So good.
Yeah, so excellent.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And Sean, you know what, the character you play, he's familiar to loads of people as being kind of a lonely Irish guy who goes away, comes back and puts on the good suit, but in fact he does a menial cleaning job in London.
Yeah. I worked in pubs in London in the 70s. And I remember one pub I worked in, back down to a Hornsey railway station, and there was a massive construction job going on there at the time, and there was hundreds of workers there, and they're nearly all Irish, and at 12:30 every day you'd start pulling pints of Guinness for the lunch break, and they'd come in, there'd be a stampede in the door at 12:30, and they'd stay in there 4 or 5 pints, 6 pints, they'd go back to work at 1, and then at 5 or 5:30 they'd all come back into the pub, and they'd stay in closing time, and they'd do that 7 days a week. And you get to know some of them, and some of them would have gone home quite regularly, but a lot of them maybe went home once or twice and then just stopped going, because there is a thing that there, to emigrate is almost, it's like a sin in a way. Mm. It's like a, for which you are never forgiven. You can be welcomed home, but you're never really at home again there, and that is kind of the tragedy of it in a way.
It's captured beautifully by McGarren. Yeah. You worked with him, didn't you, yourself, Sean? Actually,
He wrote one play, and it was a bit of a roller coaster of an experience. I mean, it was a great experience having him in the rehearsal room and working on it as well. And it was the Abbey Theatre production for the Theatre Festival of that year, 91 or 2, I think it was. And we were having a great time working on it, but we were working, I think when we got to the opening night, it wasn't fully cooked. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we gave it our best shot on the opening night, and it wasn't quite there. And we got pretty slaughtered by the reviews, and, you know, fair enough. But we came in every day the following, for the rest of the week, at 10 in the morning, and worked all day in it with John. And by the time we got to the end of the week, luckily for us, The Guardian had sent Michael Billington over to review the Dublin Theatre Festival.
Great.
And he left us to last, luckily for us. And by the time he saw it, it was pretty good.
And he loved it, didn't he?
He gave it a rave review. So it ended happily. And we had a great time with him. Like, we used to go to the Across the Road to the Flow and Tide after rehearsal every day. And he had the fondest stories. He was just endlessly entertaining.
And endlessly brilliant. I mean, even the way that novel is, it's so beautiful, but the way all the people he captures so well. Your mom, of course, Sean, because I've been lucky to interview you before, she was a national school teacher, I think, in Leitrim, so she'd know a lot of these type of characters.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she taught in a national school in a place called Ross Inver on the shores of Loch Melvin in North Leitrim. And we were living in Ballyshannon at the time, but my mother used to drive out there every day with me and my two brothers. So we went to school on the side of the mountain in North Leitrim, and it was idyllic. We were even aware of it then. Mm. This is like, you're looking out at Loch Melvin. Mm. And we used to wander up the hill during the lunch break. You know, we weren't supposed to, but we did. But there was a lot of bachelors living in that area, just hanging on for, you know, by a thread, you know. But that, I'm sure that was the same throughout, certainly the west of Ireland at the time.
And it's captured beautifully in this film. And silence. I mean, there's a lot of quietness in this film as well. It also looks beautiful. Where did you shoot it, John?
Around Clonbur, Loch Nafooey, Loch Mask, the shores of Loch Mask, a lot of
Connemara.
Connemara, North Connemara.
So it was majestic.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful time of the year as well. The weather was really gorgeous.
And I think the book is about nothing if not the passing of time itself and the changing of seasons. So we kind of dipped in and out over the course of a year to capture the changing seasons. And we had a long hiatus awaiting winter. So all the trees were bare and we went back and filmed Patrick in his lonely cottage. But I think, the movie has so much space and you know, you can really feel the passing of time in it, which is a very difficult thing to capture. And I know Pat is a big fan of Japanese cinema and particularly the work of a director called Ozu. And on one of the first days on set, because I like that era, that style, and I thought, I wonder what Joe will be driving. I'm going to get a cool vintage car to drive around in. And this beautiful old Ford Cortina pulled up and the registration said Ozu. It was like 356 Ozu. And Pat was thinking, it's almost too much of a coincidence that
it will fit.
Yeah, it was a complete coincidence.
Didn't know that.
And he thought, it's too knowing, we'll have to take it out.
Yeah.
But it was like, it happened for real. Let's leave it in.
Yeah, it's beautifully directed, actually.
Yeah.
I find a lot of it quite sad. Like, there's a lot of lonely older men.
Yeah.
But captivating to watch.
Yeah, but I love the music in it, the piano score in it.
It
really captures the unfolding of time. And then some of the, like John Olin has that thing about, you know, it rains and the grass grows and children are born and they grow old and they die. And that's the holy all of it.
Yeah.
There's a little thing between you and Anna where you're talking about the question of the gallery comes up and you're saying that, well, it's just the day. Just, you know, we moved away from London so we wouldn't have to be strategic in our thinking, that we would, you know, we get up and take the day on and do the work that needs to be done in the day.
Yeah.
Keeping you in the present sort of thing. And I think that's so well captured by you and Anna are at the centre of this film. Just give this film a keel, you know, it just keeps it steady. And then all the other characters can spin off in whatever direction, but it's beautifully orchestrated by Pat, I think.
Yeah, beautifully directed. I think after watching it, I just felt, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Of course, you're both really busy doing other things as well. Barry, I have to ask you about the second season of Bad Sisters by the great Sharon Horgan. You played the detective in season one, Inspector Loftus. I gather you might have a bigger role again in season two.
Yes. I mean, there's still an unsolved case in the air and I'm the only detective in the village, it seems.
Good.
So it's, I'm heading up the investigation in season two. We've wrapped, picture wrapped, so they're just in the edit now, and I believe it's due to air at the end of the year.
I'd say it's great fun to be in, is it?
Great fun.
Looks great fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a great show and just brilliant, brilliant cast, and all the five sisters are just so good and all at the top of their game. It's really something to behold.
And of course, Sean, apart from this movie, you've been really busy. You were recently in Translations, that extraordinary play by Friel on Broadway. I was just speaking to Stephen Ray on this show about it last Sunday. And what a great play it is. It's truly stood the test of time.
Yeah. I saw the original production of the play that Stephen was involved in 40-odd years ago. And I remember seeing it in Galway. It toured around. And you couldn't get tickets for love nor money. But I blagged my way in and I stood on a chair at the back of the Jazz Hall in Galway for 2.5 hours and was utterly spellbound by this play and the momentousness of what this play was. And given what was going on in the north at the time, it was maybe the darkest and dirtiest time of the Troubles, like 81-ish, around then. And this play somehow hinted at there is a way, there is something fundamentally to do with language here, identity, and that this play identified it without battering us over the head with it. You know, it's profoundly moving.
It's incredible.
Piece of work.
Well, Barry Ward and Sean McGinley, as our sound engineer said at the beginning, you both got beautiful speaking voices. You should think about taking up acting. Barry Ward, Sean McGinley, That They May Face the Rising Sun. It's a beautiful film directed by Pat Collins, and it's in cinemas from this Thursday, April the 25th.